Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Detroit Lions are 10-1, and welcome to the latest edition of the Detroit Football Network podcast. I'm Stoney, and in Indianapolis is Justin Rogers.
It was a weird one. Like, I had a tough time putting a finger on, you know, what was really happening in this contest. But the thing that stands out above all else is it's a second straight game they've allowed 6 points. And I get it against the Jaguars. You know, that was a kind of a garbage team playing a backup quarterback. A little bit more impressive this week. And, you know, this is a revitalized Colts team with Anthony Richardson back under center. They'd put up 28 points the week before. And, you know, it was impressive that they gave up three early, just like they did against Jacksonville, and then put the clamps down. And Aaron Glenn is just, in his bag right now. He is calling great games. It doesn't matter who's in and out of the lineup. And certainly were plenty of people out of the lineup in this one. This defense is just playing at an extraordinary level, the best that, you know, maybe we've ever seen, in this Super Bowl era.
And what's amazing is they're doing it without. Okay, so look at today's lineup.
Yeah, you might know how to get your list.
Okay, look at who started on game one. So there was no Hutchinson, no Davenport, no Barnes, no Anzalone, and no Arnold. That's five starters. Am I missing one? I don't know. But it was they're incredible. Like, they have not surrendered, and I thank the Lions PR department for this. The Lions have not surrendered a second half point in three straight games,
wow,
which is the longest streak since not allowing a second half point in each of their first four games of the 1980 season, which was when they started Another One Bites the Dust. So, and they haven't surrendered a touchdown, like we've said, in 10 straight quarters. And the last time that happened was in 1983. So they're putting up these incredible numbers. You know, aesthetically, it's not great, but it doesn't make a difference. They're getting the job done. And I don't want to bury the lead here. I don't know if it is the lead, but taking a lot of phone calls, watching the game. People's basically, and I'll use the expression, what the hell, that you're better off with Kendall Vildor reading a Kindle than actually have him playing.
Oh.
Because he was awful.
Rough game for Kendall.
Yeah. You know, he was starting for Arnold. And then when, you know, Davis went down and they've had to bring in Dorsey, you're sitting there saying, oh my God, if Carlton Davis can't play, let alone Arnold on Thursday. You know, Caleb Williams had a really good game today statistically. Thursday's not going to be that easy. You'll get to that later in the week with you and Birchie. But let's go over the health. Will Carlton Davis be playing Thursday?
If I was to guess at this moment right now, based on what he said, based on what Dan Campbell said, I would guess no. You know, he was pretty hobbled. He got on the exercise bike there, you know, trying to test it out, and gingerly is maybe the best way to describe how he was pedaling on the bike. And if you can't pedal on the bike, you can't backpedal on the field. You know, he'll get world-class treatment as NFL players always do, but I think that they are not going to want to push it with him. They need him like they need all their guys for the stretch run here. And so I think Arnold, there's probably a good chance he'll be back. You know, I think we were all kind of surprised based on the way Campbell talked about that injury on Friday. You know, something during that afternoon and maybe the next morning indicated that it wasn't worth pushing it with Terrion Arnold, but, you know, having the extra couple days to rest, rehab that injury, I think he'll be back. That's a good step in the right direction. I'm curious whether they'll take the training wheels off Mosley a little bit.
He played today, what, special teams, a couple of
those? I think it was strictly special teams. It's sometimes tough to catch on the substitution, especially with linebacker today. Man, they all played, all of them.
Yeah.
I think somebody told me that Ben Neiman, Ezekiel Turner, and David Long all played double-digit snaps today, which is wild. But I could see them working Mosley into a rotation, you know, maybe a series every three or four next week, because, you know, he's a good player, going to have some rust. But, you know, I thought Vildor got a lot of unnecessary hate last year and obviously got magnified with the San Francisco game and what happened there. But
right.
This was a really rough showing. They went after him. They had success going after him. And, you know, I think you need to have a backup plan if, you know, it starts going downhill, because that Chicago receiving core maybe hasn't been as good as we thought it would be on paper. But Adunze, Allen, DJ Moore, it's an outstanding trio.
And, you know, say what you want about the young quarterbacks, but Anthony Richardson, there was a couple, at least one I know where the receiver, whether it was Pierce or even Pittman, but I think it was Pierce on the one where he beat him like a drum and he dropped the ball, or Richardson overthrew him on one. So yeah, that's a concern. So we'll stay with the stuff that wasn't good today. And that was Vildor was one of them. The other thing, that the offensive line did not have a great game, I don't think.
Statistically,
you know, 4.2 yards a carry, but there were a lot of pressures on Goff. And look, people thought Indianapolis had a pretty decent defense anyway. This was going to be a tricky game for the Lions. So all in all, they came through. But there was too much, in my opinion, traffic in Jared Goff's face today for a great offensive line.
Yeah, I honestly, I thought they might put up 40 today. There was enough inconsistency with that defense. Certainly the yardage they were allowing, they were kind of living off their turnovers, and the Lions are a smart team in that regard. They protect the football. They proved that once again today. They did not give up a turnover. It's 7 out of 8 for Goff without an interception. He did have the fumble, which they recovered. Wasn't great, but, you know, again, they did not turn it over. I thought if they did not turn it over today that they were going to, you know, put up some major points, but they weren't clicking in the way that they normally do. And you say the 4.2 yards per carry, and that, you know, that's a good final number, but, you know, I've really taken to looking more at the efficiency, right? The 4 yards on first and 10, the half the distance on second down, the conversions on third and fourth. And, you know, those numbers aren't usually readily available. They come later in the week, but I would guess this was not a particularly efficient performance for their run game. It seemed like they struggled to get any kind of consistency. They got some really, really big runs from Montgomery and Gibbs in this game, without question. But in terms of consistency, the blocking wasn't there. And you're right. The pressure was the most I think we've seen in quite a bit. Houston generated quite a bit as well. The pass protection in general this year has probably been average, maybe even a little below average. And so, you know, if you're looking for areas that, you know, still need to get tightened up as the Super Bowl run kind of crystallizes as the future of this franchise, you know, that is an area where they need to be a little bit better.
And this leads into the other, and I don't think it was a big deal, and I think I actually am in support of this. I'm going by some texts and calls we got during the show and the fact that the offensive line was not great. But Dan Campbell got criticized for not taking the points early in the game when it was fourth and one. And I, you know what? I said, if you can't gain 1 yard behind Penei Sewell, Ragnow, and the rest of that lot, then, you know, that's a problem. I had no problem with him going for it in that situation. Did you?
It is who they are.
Right.
And I think at some level, it's better to have an identity than to concede to the math of situations all the time. And what this Lions team is under Campbell, under Glenn and Ben Johnson is they are aggressive, like relentlessly aggressive. And it's the blitzes on third down. It's the going forward on fourth down. It's these third down runs on third and six and third and nine, which,
yeah,
guess
great
what?
Today.
The math will tell you those are stupid decisions because they don't work. They work here because of who they are. It's part of their identity. And I it's one of my favorite things about this team. Like, it has nothing to do with fandom or anything like that. I am just a fan of aggressiveness in football. And I think it's rewarded more often than not. And when it backfires, it's something that, you know, you get criticized on the ESPN talk shows or local talk radio, or, you know, Bob with his little fun column that he writes for the Detroit News, you know, they'll pick apart all those little things because that's their job. But like, I appreciate the consistency of their aggression. It's just who they are all the time. And does it backfire sometimes? Yeah, it does. It backfired in San Francisco, and I don't think it backfired because they were aggressive. I think it backfired because they failed to execute, right?
Right.
If Josh Reynolds catches those passes,
they're going to the Super Bowl.
They're going to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, the players love it. I think it creates like a level of intensity, trust, confidence to, you know, in who they are. And I would not ask them to change. So taking the points, no, not at all. I thought the interesting decision, whatever, there's right or wrong, probably depends on the result, but that taking that penalty in the very first drive was an interesting one.
Yes.
You know, do you go for fourth, or you set it for fourth and two where, you know, they're running the ball really, really well with a lot of their design quarterback runs, or do you push them back in third and seven, an area where the Lions are pretty damn good when you've got the end zone condensing the field for you. And that proved to be a right decision. I don't know if that would have been the right decision for them a year ago, but the way they're playing defense right now, they knew it was the right decision, and it paid dividends in holding the Colts here to three.
We'll talk about some of the standouts, the positivity of a lot of performers that took place in Indianapolis coming up next. This is the Detroit Football Network podcast, where you get all your podcasts. You don't have to subscribe. Download Odyssey, Spotify, whatever. We'll be back after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There was lots of positivity in the game against the Indianapolis Colts, that the Lions, of course, win 24-6. Some of the things that I really liked, Justin, was, and I mean, it's nothing new, they do it all the time, is the fact that seven guys got receptions. They targeted eight guys. Tim Patrick, big catches in big situations. He was targeted four times, got four receptions. His, you know, communications or the connectivity with Laporta was a little weak today, but maybe that was just a little rust thing with Laporta. St. Brown did his thing, and J-Mo once. I mean, if when he's cutting across the middle and Goff has time, there's no way J-Mo drops the ball that's not going to be a decent play, right?
Yeah. You know, I just love the way J-Mo runs. I mean, he really should pick up the name Crazy Legs because just he's all I've compared this before. Like, he runs the way Aiden Hutchinson rushes. Like, there's just a franticness to the limbs flailing everywhere. But man, when the ball is in his hands, it's just amazing. It's electric. He can do so many things. I thought the way they used him today was a little bit different, probably good for him. You know, he was hitting on some of those little short check downs to J-Mo. It's not normally how he's used. And so, you know, it's good to put that on tape right now. Now defenses have to account for that. You know, the versatility of this offense is one of the most unique things. And, you know, I've talked about it before. I did a tape study on Tim Patrick because I had a feeling he was going to end up being a guy for this team, and I wanted to see what he was about being in the AFC. It's just like the Colts. You see the Broncos once every 4 years when you're covering this team. You don't really have a good feel for those guys. And one of the things that really stood out on Tim Patrick's tape was his intelligence. You know, for all the physical skills he had, he really had a feel for finding space and getting open for his quarterback. And I asked Goff about that today, and he's like, he's just a really, really good football player. And what it adds is another security blanket. And it's something I've grown to appreciate. A quarterback can't have enough security blankets, right? Like, different guys that they can trust to be in the right spot, to do the right thing. It's Tim Patrick might go a week with no catches or one catch for 8 yards, but there are going to be games like this because of who he is, because of his ability, because of his skill set, where he's going to get you 3 for 60, 3 for 70. Poor guy hasn't scored a touchdown yet. It's going to come eventually, but.
And he can block.
Such a great addition. I mean, he's challenging Matt Prater as the greatest freebie that the Denver Broncos has ever given the Detroit Lions. Probably needs a couple more seasons to catch Prater there, but
interesting.
Certainly
it wasn't Trinity Benson.
Oh well, that wasn't a freebie either. They paid for that one,
right?
It's baffling to me. And I mean, look, the Broncos are doing fine. They just, you know, sometimes you get a surplus of talent, and you got to let a guy go that you don't want to let go. And Patrick is older. He's over 30, which is a milestone that teams don't love in the NFL for obvious reasons. And I think we saw this with Marvin Jones last year, right? Like, you get over 30 and you're just not the same guy. Like, the tread on the tires is a little thin. You don't make the cuts as crisp. But I think the fact that he was out basically, Patrick we're talking about here, was out for a couple of years, that there is tread on the tire and there is a motivating factor behind what he's doing that, you know, is tough to kind of put a finger on, but it's intrinsic, or it's an intangible. And so I love the fit. I think he really rounds out the offense well. You know what you have in St. Brown, you know what you have in Gibbs and Montgomery. And I think, you know, now what you have in Jameson Williams. And so it's just the right final piece to the puzzle. And, doing a lot of the things that Josh Reynolds did, but in some ways doing some things better than Josh Reynolds did.
Here's another thing I really liked. Now, granted, a lot of this was maybe because of what the Colts had. The Colts had 10 penalties. Lions only had 5. And when you look at the Lions penalties, they didn't have one until the end of the first half, which was on a special teams where Mosley had false starters or something like that, which is kind of an odd penalty at that point. The other penalties, the Brian Branch penalty, I don't know if it's getting a reputation penalty or not, but, you know, at first I thought they were going to call that he got hit out of bounds, but that was obviously not it. And they even said it was a helmet. It certainly wasn't helmet to helmet. It was helmet to shoulder, and I kind of thought that was weak. Now, the other ones, Jahmyr Gibbs. I never knew he was a big fan of Allen Iverson and the step over on Teron Liu back in the 2001, I believe, NBA Finals. But that was pretty awesome, and he got penalized 15 yards for it, which was not awesome.
Oh, but no, not that one. He got penalized for taunting.
Oh, for taunting. Oh, the second one. That's right. I'm sorry. My bad. Yes. But he got a taunting penalty. That
these officials are fans of Allen Iverson.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay. That was my mistake. But yeah, you shouldn't taunt. I get it. But 15 yards for that? I don't know. Maybe he said something that we couldn't hear either.
It's one of those things like you turn around and you say something. Like they're just trying to get that out of the game. They don't want it to spill over into fighting. I mean, I get it. It's a dumb penalty. It's going to frustrate people that feel like the game is being ruined. But that one's a little bit more obvious. I honestly didn't get a close look at the Branch one. You might be right. Might be a reputation. It's not only helmet to helmet that gets penalized, though. It's leading with your helmet.
Yeah.
Using your head as a – he's definitely got a little bit of a problem of putting his head down. You know, there's all these signs. We've seen him in the locker room for years, Stoney. The keep your head up, keep your eyes up, right? And he has this thing where he puts his head down, and it's a risk not only to the players he's hitting, but to himself. And that's what I keep driving home. Like you are risking your own health by putting your head down, because we've already seen it. He knocked himself out in week 3. He had a helmet to helmet hit in Green Bay and Houston. Like, you want that guy in the field. He is such an incredible defender. You don't want him getting a concussion, or God, heaven forbid, multiple concussions, or even worse, a neck injury. Like, you have to coach the fundamentals into him. It's just, there's no doubt in my mind he can get it right. Extremely talented, extremely smart. And it's not even an aggression thing. It's just about doing the right technique to protect yourself, to protect the opponent.
It's a fundamental. Another thing I want to talk about that it was great today was their third downs. 9 of 15. Conversely, the Colts were 3 for 12. I mean, if there's one stat,
3 for 12. That surprises me, because I think probably two of them came on the first drive or two.
Yeah, on some long passes, actually.
But you know, I looked it up last week. Like, there are not a whole lot of defenses that have finished below 30% on third downs through an entire season, and I mean, the Lions are right on the cusp of it. I think they came into the game, they were number one already at 30.4. That, you know, that's another 25% performance. So, you know, it's going to bring it down a little bit more. I mean, it's going to end up being one of the best third down seasons in NFL history, and certainly mm-hmm. franchise history. It's a really great area to be great.
Another few players I want to mention. Goff was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. I mean, yeah. no interceptions. 26 of 36, 269, no interceptions, no touchdowns. And a lot of his incompletions, or at least a few of them, were just ones where he was smart. He just threw the ball away. So, you know, that's obviously not in the statistics. The one thing I didn't like was early in the game, he took a sack that he's got to know better just to throw the ball.
Yeah, I think I'm curious how that play would have looked had he not slipped. You know, he lost his footing there, and he seemed to kind of have a plan, at least, right? Like, it wasn't reckless. You know, mm-hmm. his first move evaded the defender, and I think he had a second move plan that was going to open up the window to either throw it away or to see if Tim Patrick had found space, as Tim Patrick does. You know, he lost his footing on the turf, and that's actually – that was something I read about this turf coming into the game. It's brand new. You know, they put it in this off season. It's the same company that runs the Dallas turf, and players actually really like it. It's apparently faster than the turf that Ford Field uses. But in the first couple of weeks, like, guys were slipping all over this surface. And so, you know, just one of those things that you can prep for, but until it gets you, you know.
Jack Campbell was outstanding today, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought what really impressed me, like, look, we know what he is as a run defender. I mean, his downhill angles, pursuit, tackling, vision, all of that is A quality almost all the time. Coverage, you know, I think, you know, some of the metrics have actually been a little overly kind to him this year. I thought he had a really strong coverage game. One of his better ones, unfortunately, one of those coverage plays, you know, diving deflection probably cost the Lions a interception today, but he doesn't know that. He's just trying to make a play on the ball. That was the right play, and it was a good one, and, you know, just a unfortunate break for them.
And then in a weird stat, Jack Campbell, he has totaled at least seven tackles in eight straight games, the longest streak by a Lion player since
Spielman?
Stephen Boyd in 2013.
He was a good player.
Stephen Boyd, the Boyd nickel package. Who could ever forget that, ladies and gentlemen? One of the greatest ones. And, of course, the other stats that we talked about, they have not surrendered a touchdown in 10 straight quarters and have not surrendered a second-half point in three straight games, which is pretty damn impressive. All right, there's some injury news.
I have a generic complaint about the consistency of NFL stat keeping, and this is nitty gritty. I understand, but every stadium has their own stat keeper, right? Mm-hmm. And they keep stats differently. And man, tackles is wildly inconsistent across the league. And I've talked to some players about this. So I don't know why the Colts thought they were, you know, smart for touting this in their media guide this week, but they were announcing that they were number one in tackles in the NFL. Well, that's actually not a great thing, guys. It means they're on the field a whole lot, but they also have three of like the top seven or eight tacklers in the NFL. And I was looking at their stats after the game, and their three linebackers had 14 tackles, 13 tackles, and 11 tackles. And the amount of like assisted tackles that they get, like, I feel like certain
47. The Lions only had 13. Now, granted, the Lions were on offense a longer time than the Colts were, but that's a crazy discrepancy. 83 combos to 39.
I think I've heard this about Chicago a lot too, like that they inflate their guys' tackle numbers just by giving them assists when they're in the vicinity, or, you know, have a hand on the guy. And just, I don't know. I don't know how the NFL is supposed to clean that up, but, you know, it matters to these guys that they, you know, they get credit for the stats that they deserve. And, it's amusing to me, but that was a tangent, unnecessary, but I decided to go on it.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's a beauty of podcasts is. All right. Speaking of Chicago, who will and who won't be playing against those Bears on Thursday? We'll try to figure that out coming up next. This is the Detroit Football Network podcast. All right, there's one other player that I want to mention who I thought, and we've mentioned him so many times this season, but I thought Aleem McNeil had a really good game today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jake Bates.
No. Well, yes. I mean, we didn't talk about that long field goal, but yes. But Aleem McNeil was incredible today.
Even though statistically,
he only had one tackle.
Yeah. No, I thought the interior of the defensive line as a whole was disruptive. McNeil obviously is the leader of that pack, and, you know, has just really developed into consistently one of the better defensive tackles in football. But this felt like one of DJ Reader's best games.
Yes.
It felt like he was very disruptive. Obviously, the Colts could not run the ball beyond, you know,
at least one penalty I know of, and maybe even more.
No, absolutely. So did Aleem when he got his helmet ripped off by Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson is a Dan Campbell guy for sure. I mean, just plays with that nasty streak. But I felt like even though they didn't get a sack today, I actually asked McNeil about that in the locker room. I go, how did you feel you affected the pocket? I know how I felt about it, but I was curious what he said. He goes, we moved him off of his pivot point a lot. And while I need to see the film, like, I felt like we were having an impact today. And, you know, that shows up. You didn't turn the ball over once today. You didn't get one sack, 6 points. And I think I talked about this out of the Jacksonville game too. Like, they had one turnover and one sack, I think, in that game, 6 points. Like, it screams that everybody's doing their job fundamentals. Like, they are just on their P's and Q's, all 11 except Kendall Vildor, apparently.
Yes. But by the way, speaking of, you know, you mentioned Richardson, I was surprised that they didn't try to run him more after he was so successful in the first drive.
You know, Carlton Davis said something that, you know, it's just sometimes like guys say something and you're like, oh, that makes all the sense in the world, right? Like it's so obvious. I don't know why I thought about it. And he said, look, we knew that what they were doing in that first quarter, that first drive is unsustainable. You can't keep running your quarterback at that level. It's not sustainable.
He might cap out again.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by Anthony Richardson. Like I'm always fascinated by like these super athletes, and he is a super athlete. And you just see him out here warm up. You're like, damn, that guy is big. I mean, he's just so big. And so like, when I see these guys that are anomalies physically, like I just want them to be successful, 'cause I think it's great for the game. Right. Like he has superstar written all over. By the way, his arm is also a cannon.
Oh, yeah.
He throws that ball so damn hard.
That one where he just overthrew that guy. That was going to be incredible, because I believe he got him outside of, from some trouble on that play as well. All right. We mentioned, obviously, Carlton Davis. Your guess is he probably won't play.
That's probably where I'm leaning on that for sure.
Decker came back, so you'd assume he will play.
Yeah, I do think Decker will play. The one hesitation I have is he had the ankle injury last year against Green Bay, I believe, or no, I'm sorry, it was against Kansas City in the opener. And it wasn't until the next day that it really started messing with him and ended up costing him 2 weeks. And so, there's always this possibility when the adrenaline wears off, when whatever treatment they did wears off, that it swells up and stiffens up. He hurt his knee and his ankle on that play. He said his MCL got a little banged up. Said it was the same ankle he injured last year. He thinks he'll be good, but it's a short week. It's 2 games in 8 days. It's 3 games in 11 days. Like I can understand the desire, if you're on the fence and it's 50-50, to reel it back and just be cautious, because you need these guys for the big picture, not Chicago.
And by the way, the three games in what, 11 days, you said?
Yeah, I think it's 4-18. It's just, it's a brutal stretch.
Well, first of all, I think it's bullshit that a team that plays on a Thursday plays the following Thursday. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, part of the problem, everybody, the safety and all that stuff, that's what the league stresses. That's why they have these rules. But if you're playing with 3 days rest, at least the benefit of playing on a Thursday is usually you get 10 days or whatever. Playing the following Thursday is, and it's going to be awesome. Seeing at Ford Field, I get to that, but no, that shouldn't happen. Okay. So David Montgomery, playing the Bears, he'll be playing.
Yeah,
you'll have to shoot him up, put him to sleep for about 3 days for him not to play in that game.
You know, he's a guy that doesn't say a lot by design. He's kind of a about that action type individual in that locker room, certainly from the media perspective. But, they do those little social media videos, the Lions do. And 2 years in a row, they put out all the logos on sticks, and they said, which team are you looking most forward to facing? And I think both years those videos closed with Montgomery walking up, grabbing that Bears stick and holding in front of the camera. And I asked him today, I go, I know they're all supposed to be nameless and faceless, David, but like Thanksgiving, the opponent, like what's it mean? And just this smile came across his face, and he's like, I love to lace him up every week, but yeah, that one's a little bit more special. Like, yeah, good. Get the tranquilizer darts out if you think you're keeping him off that field for sure.
And the last guy I want to talk about, because we mentioned obviously Davis before, is Khalif Raymond. He was on the cart there for a while. It doesn't look like, Dan Campbell said, it doesn't look good. Are we talking maybe season-ending injury? And then I have a follow-up on that because people went crazy on this one thing after that.
Yeah, I have a feeling I know where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know right now with Raymond what it means. He was in a boot. It was kind of one of the weirdest stretches I've recalled. Like, we're trying to monitor what's going on the sideline and what's going on with injuries. He gets taken off. Then the Decker injury is happening. And at the same time, Raymond's being carted off to the locker room from the sideline. So, it's never good, but, they don't want you walking on an injured foot or knee the 100 or whatever yards in cleats. So he gets carted off. Then he comes walking back out on the field like 10 minutes later, which, you know, generally means, you know, it doesn't mean you're coming back into the game, but like you're healthy enough to be there with your teammates. He didn't have a helmet. Nobody expected him to come back in the game. And then 5 minutes later, he was getting carted off a second time. And I've never seen that. And I mean, that is not a guy seeking drama. I mean, just an extraordinarily tough, team first individual. So whatever was going on with him was weird. Could it be season ending? Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll maybe know more tomorrow when we talk to Dan Campbell in the late afternoon, early evening.
Okay, so with him out,
yep.
Their punt returner was Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It was.
And look, the Lions had a substantial lead.
I don't think that's
a
long-term solution.
Because people were just losing their shit over it. You don't want him returning punts!
Yeah, and I think he avoided the heart of the contact, but that Colts player was coming for his soul on that one. He got a lane and like he wanted to just destroy St. Brown. And I think he was able to slide under it, but you know, that you go into a game, you have 46 players and you have backups and you hope that you don't have to use them. But that was their logical backup. And who else was it? You don't want JMO back there. I know people look at Craig Reynolds and Khalil Dorsey as backup kick returners, but like kick return and punt return is a different game. You want to go with a guy that's done it before.
Okay. And, so do they go on the waiver wire? Do they, cause somebody mentioned on Ticket Text, and I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And you would, like Isaiah Williams was pretty decent at that, but they obviously lost him.
Yep.
When he got poached from the practice squad.
Yep.
Where do you find somebody just to return punts? Yeah.
I think I probably would have told Amon-Ra fair catch all those things. Like You don't need to be returning jack squat in this
what
game.
What about Vaki?
Vaki is more kick than punt. You know, he fits in that cluster. If I was to guess, they just brought back Maurice Alexander. He's on the practice squad.
Oh, okay.
You've got elevations, you know, depending on where else you need things. But I would guess Maurice Alexander gets elevated for Thanksgiving. You know, that, and if Raymond has to go on IR, that might be a guy you just straight up sign to the roster for, you know, the stretch run.
All right. So they are 10-1.
10-1.
10-1. And I think I saw this stat, not from the Lions, that the Chiefs also won today to go 10-1.
Barely.
And I know. Well, we're celebrating, rightfully so. This is the first time the Lions have had back-to-back 10 wins, double-digit seasons in their history. I believe the Chiefs, this is Andy Reid's 10th straight year of having double-digit.
Isn't that amazing? what a great career that guy's had.
Yeah. All right, so Thanksgiving, it's the Bears. I think the line I read, I believe, is like 10.5 or something like that, which I think is a little high, but we'll see what happens. We'll be doing our podcast sometime after our stomachs are stuffed with turkey and stuffing and spending some time with our family. So by the time you get in your car on Friday, whether you're coming to work like I will be at 6 a.m. with John Jansen, or going to the mall for Black Friday, or just waiting to watch another football game on Black Friday, which there will be, I believe, right? Yeah, I think there is one. We will see you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And, you know, as always, Zach Clark, he puts up with all our times.
He'll
put up with our time on Thanksgiving because he's such a damn trooper. So we appreciate him. He's producing this episode. And as Tony said earlier, you know, podcasts can be found everywhere. Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, download, listen, rate, all the things. You can find Will's work. He's not here, but he is here. He's on the road with me this time.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. You can find his work and whatever he's producing tonight on 971theticket.com.
Is Wojo in the same like vicinity as you?
Yeah. He's somewhere. I can't hear him, so I got far enough away. Mm. We'll get him on for a guest spot here. We'll make all the employers uncomfortable with that decision. And you can find my work obviously on DetroitFootball.net. For Stoney, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.